We are glad you are here today. Amen. The hungry and thirsty will come to be filled with what they're hungry and thirsty for. People who are not hungry and thirsty will go to church out of routine, out of the practice of their religion, to kind of keep your foot in the door in case you need God to do something that insurance can't take care of and doctors can't cure. There's all kinds of situations where we need God's intervention. Amen. Man has limitations. Nothing impossible with God. Hallelujah. Amen. So there are those that follow him for the fish and loaves. There are those that follow him when he turned the water to wine. He literally said, you know, if it wasn't for the miracles, if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't be around here. They followed him simply for the blessing. Yeah. They followed him for the healing. But those that follow him for what he's done for us at the cross, yeah, to pay back by loving him back. You can never pay back. Nothing you could ever do could pay back what he has given for us. Amen. But we can love him back for what he's given us. We're to love him, stimulated by his love for us. We have a commandment: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength. Yeah. Everything that's in you, every part of your being, is to love the Lord. First and great commandment is to love the Lord with all. Amen. And yet, in order to stimulate that kind of devotion, that kind of strong, ardent love, he loves us first. Amen. And we love him in a reciprocal love. We love him back for loving us. I couldn't keep that commandment just because he said it, as much as I want to love him like that. But I love him back because I receive his love for me. I don't argue with it. I don't, as the Bible puts it, I don't frustrate the grace of God by not receiving it as God grants it and gives it. Don't try to make yourself worthy of a gift. Because the moment you think you're worthy of the gift, you cancel the gift of it. It's no longer a gift if you've got to earn it. Amen? For a gift to a ministry, I've often kind of smiled when I see it. For a gift of $100, we're going to give you this something. Yeah. So I don't get it unless I send $100, and then I obtain the gift. Well, in my understanding of a gift, if I have to spend $100 to get it, it's not a gift. Amen? I mean, if I have to pay Santa Claus back, just don't bother. I'll go to the store myself. Amen. And buy it for myself. You don't have to come down no chimney to leave me a bill. But that's just me. Maybe I'm different. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's put it to what our faith in his finished work. Amen. The Bible speaks of the gift of salvation, the gift of righteousness, the gift of Jesus, the greatest gift of all. For God so loved the world that he gave as a gift his only begotten Son. The Bible speaks of pastors, and I don't see any pastor here. There's a mirror somewhere. I could preach to that one. Not the bear. Not the bear. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm a gift to the body of Christ if I fulfill the requirements of a pastor to feed the flock of God. Yeah. I'm here to feed you. I hope you, well, you are hungry, you wouldn't be here. Praise God. Amen. Amen. People that are not hungry, they're looking for a spiritual quickie on Sunday morning. They want to get in, get out, and go have some fun. Let's go do something fun. But let's go to church in case we need a miracle. We need God to step in. Let's show up and get out, go about our day. But if we ever need a miracle, we want to make sure that God saw us. I was in church Sunday. Yeah. I'm practicing my religion. Well, a lot of people that just went that way, now don't go at all because they're empty. They're not hungry. They're not hungry for God. All they have left is it's the right religion. The Christian faith is the right religion. But it has to go beyond religion. The religion is to bring us into a relationship. Amen. With Jesus Christ. Amen. That is satisfying. He that eats of my body, drinks of my blood, listen to it. He will never hunger. He will never thirst. Praise God. For my body is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats of my body partakes of me spiritually in a real relationship with me. He will never hunger. He will never thirst. That's the greatest insulator against temptation. Because if we don't find it in the Lord as Christians, we're going to start looking for it in the world. Amen. If we don't find it in the Lord, we're going to look for it in the world. If we don't find it in a spiritual satisfaction, we're going to look for it in the material and physical world. Let me tell you something about the material and the physical world. It is under the direct, distinct influence of the evil one. The whole world, Jesus said, you're of God, little children, and the whole world, without exception, lieth in wickedness. And the actual Greek connotates in the influence and power of the evil one. That's why it says, love not the world, neither the things that are... It's not talking about that car that you... It's not talking about your car. Amen. Or your mountain. She's got a platinum... It's the platinum. It's beyond the... It's the highest level. And it was a gift. Are you making payments on it? You're not making payments on it?
Not even insurance. Not even
insurance. It's a gift that came with the insurance. Our gift came with assurance. Can you say amen? Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Hallelujah. Somehow or another, God is speaking to us today to receive the way He grants to us. Not to try to earn a gift. And not even to try to pay it back with some kind of self-sacrificing. You know, if I give my body to be burned for my religious practice and have not love in my heart, agape love, it profits me nothing. Amen. Amen. But if I love Him back for loving me, I reciprocate love. We love Him because we have a command to love Him. Yes, we have a command to love Him, but to keep that commandment, He points us toward His unconditional love for you and for me today. Amen. And some of us have a real problem with unconditional love because we've had to try to earn it from our parents, earn it from our peers. If you've got a friendship relationship, if you want to keep that relationship, you've got to be to them what their expectations of you, or they're going to drop you like a hot potato. We have to earn everything until we come to Christ. You can't earn anything. You can live your whole life thanking Him, living thanks, giving thanks verbally, but living thanks with our life. It is a free gift. Now here's the deal. This church is a heaven-bound church. Always has been. There is a dichotomy going on today. There's an earthbound church that is obsessed with the wealth of the world. There's nothing wrong with wealth. God made Abraham wealthy. Amen. There's a scripture that you had visited in your Strong's Exhaustive Concordance that you allowed me to have. Amen. So I could do curls with it and keep my biceps, because it's one of my heavier books. Amen. And I was looking up a scripture that you had visited because you had marked it, or someone had marked it. And I thought, he got there before I did. I'm glad I got there. I'm going to preach on it someday before he preaches on it. Praise God. And it said, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby great good shall come unto thee. And if you read on down, it says, if you, in order to be in agreement with God and be right with God, you can't love a world that is anti-Christ, anti-Christian. You can't align yourself with them. You don't have to align yourself politically or even socially. All you have to do is start valuing the same things that the fallen world values. When you put the premium on what is material and physical and what is giving you that feeds your ego and feeds your pride, we're aligning ourselves with the world. And that's why the Bible said, he that makes himself, in the book of James, a friend of the world, declares himself to be an enemy of God. So love not the world nor the things in the world. For if any man love the world, listen, the love of the Father is not in him. It doesn't matter if we praise him on Sunday morning. It doesn't matter if we go to church regularly. It doesn't matter if we send our money in. It's where our love is. That's why I want to read this scripture today before I preach too far without this scripture as a foundation for it. Something that can be marked in your Bible and marked in your heart. Have you ever heard the expression, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good? Yeah. I have actually met people like that. That they wouldn't work, they wouldn't take care of their family, they wouldn't fulfill any responsibilities, and then they would say, I'm trusting the Lord to take care of my family and take care of us. Yeah. My faith is in God. And then they would come to people after church. And their poor old kids are about to go hungry and don't have no shoes. And they're saying God will take care of it, but their hand is out to you and me. And the Bible said, listen, now I know it sounds harsh, but it's very clear. If a man don't work, he should not eat. Amen. We got hard working people in here. They're saying, amen, preacher. Can you say amen? And you did say amen. But on the other hand, you can be so earthly minded that you are no heavenly good because you do not represent his kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world. You're of God. That's you and me that have come to Christ. You're of God. And the whole world outside the kingdom of God lieth in wickedness, literally under the distinct and direct power of the evil one. That's why we can't love that hates God. Love not the world or the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is of the world. And the world passes away. It's in the process of passing away. Amen. It's in flux. It's changing. It's changing. Nothing in this world, this earth, and this earth realm is permanent. It's all passing away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And that's what astonished Jesus. What would a man give? When the devil shows him the kingdoms of the world and he goes after him at the expense of his eternal soul, what would a man give? What kind of trade is he willing to trade eternity for a few fleeting years? I mean, what did it say about our life and our lifetime that's allotted us? It's like a weaver's shuttle. Once that weaver starts that shuttle, it is a blur.
Yes, it is.
And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going on 80. I know I look like I'm 50 or 60 because you can't see me. I'm not on television. Amen. But I'm going on 80. My next birthday, I'll be in my 80s. Brother Taylor, if he doesn't tell you his age, I would never put him in that category. Amen. But I am actually been around for a long time. And when I look back, someday you'll look back if you get to be our age. You'll look back on a lifetime and say, it's a blur. I mean, I can remember things, but it's all now kind of all put together in years that have rushed. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? What's it worth? And this is the devil's lie, that it is worth it. That it is worth it. And he's not only telling that lie to the world, he's telling it to Christians that are beginning to love the world at the expense of the love of God. Because if any man love the world, listen, you can't serve two masters. The love of God is not in him. You can sing the psalm, you can sing the song, but it's the heart. That's why Jesus said, lay up your treasure in heaven, where the rust can't corrupt it and the thief can't come and steal it. For wherever your treasure, your priority, what you put the priority on, wherever your treasure is, your heart will follow. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? So I'm telling you today, there is an earthbound church today that is obsessed with the material. It's about getting rich. It's about getting famous. It's all about getting. And it has tarnished the testimony of the value and worth of the kingdom of God. It's like the kingdom of God in heaven and spiritual things is worth nothing. I'm going to tell you, if you ever end up in hospice and it's coming, you're leaving this old world and you're leaving everything in it behind.
Amen.
Amen. All the wealth in the world is meaningless. All of the fans in the world that have loved you and applauded you and embraced you, that you compromised to have them do that, means nothing. Amen.
Amen.
The only thing that matters is the peace of knowing where you're going to live and spend eternity. And I'll guarantee you, anybody that gets that, really gets a hold of that, they wouldn't trade anything. They will not trade anything. They will not take the devil up. Listen how he did it. Jesus is praying. He's fasting. He's weak in his body from the fasting. Devil tells him to turn the stones to bread. You know? Lust of the flesh, fulfill and indulge yourself. You've got the power to do that. But then he went to the lust of the eyes. The lust. Well, let me first, before the eyes, go to the pride of life. Took him to a high place, said, overlooking the temple. Jump off of here in plain view so all can see. Angels bear you up. Didn't the Bible say they'd bear you up? Show them you're the Messiah. Show them what you got. Show them that you're such a mighty spiritual being that you can jump off of here, but before you hit the ground, angels will pick you right up and they'll see it and applaud you and say, oh, he's the man. The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and listen, the lust of the eyes. All that is in the world and the lust of the eyes. He took him to a high place where he could see, and suddenly it opened up a panorama view of all of the richest kingdoms of the world in terms of material wealth. And he said, it's in my power. See, I told you, he's the influence of this world and all its priorities. He's the one behind it all. He's the one that causes the man who will pursue riches and ignore his family's needs. We hear every Christmas when this guy tells his secretary to get a gift for his children or his wife to give, and they're, you know, anybody with any sense is saying what they need at Christmas more than anything else you can give them is you, Dad. They need their dad, not out at the meeting of the corporate meeting that's been called because the stock is in trouble, whatever. They need you. Sometimes I go at late at night to spend time with my son that I still have here, to just spend some time with him and me, because, and oh, he talks my ear off. He talks both ears off. He's got so much to talk about, just, and he lures me over. He's, I know it's time. He comes in and he's antsy. He's and I thought, you okay? You know? And I said, I'll be over in a minute. I'm just about finished. I'll be right over. And boy, he's got something ready. He's all ready. Now sit down right here, Dad. He's got an easy chair for me. Yeah. And I sit back in the easy chair. Anything I want, he would get me, because he's got my attention. So I give him me, something I didn't do with my first son. So I was so busy with everybody else and ministering to everybody else, I wasn't there for my first son. He played basketball, never saw him play a game. I would get ready to go to a game, and a phone call would come. And I would take care of whatever the need was first. And I apologized to him. I told him, I said, son, I'm so sorry that I didn't even get to see you play. I'm sorry I wasn't there for you. He said, Dad, that's okay. And I said, no, it's not. No, it's not. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for trying to console me about it. But no, it's not okay. Amen. The lust of the eyes. He took him to a place where it's like a panorama of the greatest, richest kingdoms of the world could be seen. And Satan says, it's in my power to give you. There are people making deals with the devil that knowingly do it in order to get what Jesus flat out turned down. Yeah. Amen. There are people worshiping the devil that are not known as devil worshipers. They don't have pentagrams on their floor, and they're not burning black candles, and they're not doing incantations. They're just aligning themselves with a satanic system when they go after the things of this world over the things of the kingdom of God. Amen. He showed him the kingdoms of the world. It's in my power to give you this. Some of the rich people of this world. And Jesus said it, didn't he? If that's where your heart is, how are you going to get in the kingdom of God? For the kingdom of God is not meat, and it's not drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's things that the world cannot give you and cannot be bought at any price. A hitman for the mafia that got saved. Thank God a hitman that's murdered people for money can actually get saved. That's a gift. Make no mistake about it, that's unmerited favor. Yeah. Hallelujah. But aren't you glad that he got saved? Yeah. Because the same grace that saved him is the same grace. Oh, well, I've been a pretty good person all my life. Well, you know something? You're going to have a real problem with unmerited favor, because you're already leaning toward your goodness. Amen. And still, his grace and his mercy. Now, don't go out and be ugly and mean as you can be, amen, to qualify for grace, to appreciate it. Just understand, it's the same grace. And it took just as much blood shed from Jesus on the cross to save that murdering hitman as it did to save you and to save me. Can you say amen? And it's a treasure beyond anybody's wildest dreams. And yet when the material world takes precedence over this wonderful, glorious kingdom of God, we align ourselves with a system that Satan is in control of and he's in charge of. He showed him the kingdoms of the world. It's in my power to give you this, if you will only worship me. Yeah. Devil worshipers are open. They worship God openly. Anton LaVey kind of pave the way for a church that's as much a church as Southern Baptist or Church of Christ or Church of God or Assembly of God or any of the other denomination, Christian denominations. He started the Church of Satan. And he got the same tax exempt status of any charitable religious organization. Openly devil worshiping. His daughter, I understand, got saved and had a testimony of salvation. You want to know the power of grace? She's raised by not only the devil worshiper, but the president, director, whatever you call him, grand poobah of the Church of Satan, whatever he calls himself, the imperial wizard. I don't know what he called himself, but I know one thing. I know with all of that, when God by grace calls somebody to salvation, it'll cut through the darkness. It'll cut through the demons. It'll cut through the devil's hedges that he's putting up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why when a witch doctor in Africa's son, he was a warlock, I guess you would call him. He was a witch doctor practicing the black arts, and his son was raised to take his place, raised in it. And yet he heard an evangelist preach in Africa, and the Spirit of the Lord just opened his eyes, and all of that darkness was blown away, and he was gloriously saved. Wow. And the Christians in America couldn't handle it. This guy was a practitioner of the black arts. His daddy was a witch doctor. He was involved with familiar spirits and the occult up to here. And he came to Christ. And they wanted to know. You see, we doubt this kind of grace and this kind of power because we doubt this kind of person, Jesus Christ. Yeah. When he comes in, the devil got to move out.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. There are demon-influenced Christians, no doubt, but there's no demon-possessed Christians.
Amen.
Thank you for the hearty amens. I know you think you know somebody that, you know, well, I do too for that matter, but biblically speaking, bitter and sweet water does not flow from the same cistern, the same fountain. Amen. A tree is known by its fruit. So make the tree good and its fruit good. For an evil tree cannot bear good fruit. And a good tree cannot bear evil fruit. So make it good or make it evil. Because there's no gray.
Yeah.
There's no pretty good or not too bad.
Amen.
You say, you know, I'm just... Oh, here's a term I want to throw at you today. Because I can't teach all of this in the little time that we have left. Carnal Christian. That's going around. I'm a Christian. But my flesh indulges in just anything that I choose because it wouldn't be grace if I tried to live right. I'm a carnal Christian. Vance Havner never minced words. He was worse than me. Can you imagine? He said, worldly Christian, you might as well talk about a heavenly devil. You see what a contradiction it is to talk about a heavenly devil? He said it's the same contradiction to talk about a worldly Christian. You know some people that call themselves Christian, but their values match the world. 100%. The prosperity movement that became a get-rich indulgent message. To indulge yourself to be a disciple of Jesus. Look what is in it for you, and it's all material. It's all the physical world. Every bit of it. You'll notice something about the earthbound church, Laodicea, and the earthbound church today in our 21st century. There is no message on Sunday morning about the soon coming of Christ. There's no message. Oh, there's all kinds of messages about healing and help and riches and wealth and answered prayer. But there's no message about the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Why? When the kingdom is of this world, there's no concern about the world to come. And people are not living for heaven. They're living for this world. Your best life now. If your best life is now, you're in big trouble.
Amen.
Because now don't last long.
Nope.
I never dreamed I would be an old codger. When I was 30, 80s, man, that's Santa Claus's grandpa. Can you say, man, that's somebody that's up in years. I never dreamed. No offense, old codger. Amen. My brother, my companion in labor, my fellow soldier. Hallelujah. But here I are. Here I am. And looking back on it, it's a short trip, brother. Amen. You're in your 30s now. How old are you?
32.
Boy, I hit you just right, didn't I? You're in your 30s now. Hallelujah.
I remember his grandpa.
You remember his grandpa?
We knew your grandpa.
Yeah. Wow. Amen. Right now, there's no way he can relate to me and Brother Taylor.
Amen.
Amen. There's just, I'm in my 30s. I got this whole life in front of me. That whole life in front of you is going to sweep by you so fast. Amen. It's going to go fast. I'm not going to ask the rest of you how old you are. How old are you? You're young.
I just turned 50.
She don't look no.
He just turned 50.
Who else just turned 50? Okay. You're getting there. You're getting there. You are getting there. Amen. My son, my youngest son, 10 years junior to my eldest son that beat me to heaven, he's going to be 53 next month. My youngin', my little'un, the one that I used to carry around. You know, my first son, I'd carry him around and in a store, and I've got him carrying him around. And we're so young ourselves. They would come up, and they would look at him, and they'd look at me, and I was so young, and she was so young, they'd say, "Your little brother is so cute." "Your little brother is so cute." This is not my little brother. This is my son. I'm a daddy. She's a mama. I'm 16. She's 14. He's 6 weeks. I know, that's what they would say. So I just kept him my little brother. Can you say amen? I didn't want to hear him say, "Oh my gosh." Like her. It goes quick. That's what astonished Jesus. He said, "You don't get it.
Come on,
you don't get it. But those that are part of my kingdom, they do get it.
Yeah.
They're living for heaven. Yeah. They're not living for the moment. They're not living in time. They're putting time over against eternity and say, 'This is time. This is eternity. Yeah. I will not let the devil offer me anything in time that costs me anything in eternity.'"
Yeah.
That's why the earthbound message, there's no prophetic message coming. There's no call to repentance.
Come on, brother.
And they're proud of it.
Yeah.
They know they're sinners. I don't have to tell them that. I just tell them how good they are, how great they are, how wonderful they are. I'm going to tell you who's going to heaven. It's the heaven-bound church.
Amen.
To them that look, he shall appear. To them that long for him are the ones that look for him. When we were started in radio, we came on with a song. I didn't have the copyright rights, and they did not sue me. Thank the Lord that was not, the Christian community was not so term litigious, where they sue you, litigate. They sue you for singing a praise song that they wrote you can't use in church. I'm so glad anybody. A guy came up to me one Sunday and he said, last Sunday I preached one of your messages that you had preached. It touched me so deeply. I got a chance to preach and I preached your message. I said, good for you.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to sue you for copyright. I mean, seriously. I mean, we get people telling us, you better buy the rights to these if you're going to sing that praise song. I don't think CC Winan cares that we sing a praise song. But if she does, she ain't going to get much. It's going to... Amen. But it gets crazy. Love not the world, though the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, that appeals to the lust of the eyes, the flesh, and the pride of life is of the world. And the world, don't you understand, is passing away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
The heaven-bound church is looking for the soon coming of Jesus. They're being forewarned from the pulpit, the coming of the Lord. I don't think Brother Taylor has prayed hardly a prayer over a service that he didn't mention Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
We need to live holy. We need to be close to God because Jesus is coming soon. When have you heard? Jesus is coming soon. You need to get your act together. Jesus is coming soon. He's coming for a bride without spot, nor blemish, nor wrinkle, nor any such thing, but that it should be holy. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. God is preparing a spotless bride for a spotless groom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When have you heard about the marriage supper of the Lamb? For the bride hath made herself ready. And it was granted to her that she be clothed in white raiment, clean and white. For white raiment is the righteousness of the saints. You see the difference between the worldly church, Laodicea. I'm rich, listen. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. That's an earthbound church. And we're seeing it replicated over and over in the 21st century. And Christians aligning themselves with the same value system of the world.
Amen.
Now, you don't have to become a monk. But don't let the devil make a monkey out of it.
Right.
Amen? You don't have to go and sit on top of a mountain somewhere and chant and take a vow of poverty. God will supply your need. But he knows your greater need. And the greater need is Him.
Yes.
To fill the hole that is especially designed for Him in our heart and in our life. I guarantee you Bill Gates with his billions, who tried to fill the hole by an affiliation with this... What's his name? You know his name. Yeah, we've heard too much about it. This rich pedophile guy, human trafficking, that everybody associated with him, getting brought down with him. The Democrats wanted to shame the Republican president. They finally got him to release it all, and it implicated them and not just him. Got what they wanted, didn't want what they got. Guilty by association. You know what the Bible said? Evil communications corrupt good manners. The actual Greek, it's not about how many forks you use at the table or yes ma'am or please and thank you. Not those kind of manners. Evil companionships, people you align with, corrupt good morals. Who you associate with, who you affiliate with. You're either going to win them to Christ or they're going to pull you away from Christ.
Amen.
But something's got to give. Make sure it's not you. The earthbound church is comfortable in the world because Jesus said the world loves its own. But he also said, you're not of the world. Somebody say, thank the Lord. I'm not of the world. It means I'm not of that system that is influencing everything and everyone outside the kingdom of God. Thank God I'm not of the world. If somebody offered me a home with a bigger closet for my clothes, I'd take it. Not because I'm worldly, but because I need a bigger closet. It's just that simple. I go to straighten up my room and know where to put anything. Amen. I straightened up her room. Oh, Lord. So she could get, she was saying, I can't hardly get in and get out. I put stuff on the floor. I don't know where to put it. And I arranged, did I not arrange it? Give thanks with a grateful heart. But you can get in. The dog loves his mama. Wherever mama is, the dog is. And he would go in and look for a place to lay down. He can't lay down. Anyway, he can lay down now. She can walk through now. Yeah, I don't care about living in a community where all the big shots. I performed a wedding in a community that had several million-dollar homes. Several million-dollar homes.
We ate dinner at a home where their pets were bison.
Oh, yeah, their pets that they had out in a field filled in were buffalo. They owned buffaloes. I mean, you'll forget cats, dogs, gerbils, whatever, birds. You know, send a dozen buffaloes over. I like to look at buffaloes in the morning. Wow. Yeah, we ate there. I went and prayed for a lady down in South Florida. Someone who came to church said she had cancer and this, that, and the other. Said, Brother Venable, she said if you would come and pray, she believed God would touch her. She heard through a tape the ministry, sensed the anointing of God on the ministry, and she couldn't, you know, Oral Roberts is not coming. I'm sorry. You know, he's not going to hop on a plane and go to Fort Lauderdale. And it wasn't Lauderdale. It was on this other coast, Fort Myers. I don't know, but I drove all the way down there. And I didn't drive with any expectation of anything. And it's a good thing I didn't, because I got nothing. Amen. But I went with an expectation for the glory of God. If God touches this woman, she has influence over a lot of people. She's a very wealthy lady. And I prayed for her for nothing. She didn't have to sow a seed in our ministry. She didn't have to pay for my gas to come or gas to go home. Amen. When I get to heaven, I'm going to get my reward for that trip and that prayer. I don't know if she got healed or didn't get healed, but I know the prayer of faith was offered and was prayed in faith. Hallelujah. I did my part. He does the heavy lifting anyway. But now, the earthbound church is obsessed with wealth and the material. Satan has shown those Christians that follow it and the leaders of it, they're worldly. Their values reflect worldly values. Just as humanistic as the humanist. Satanic without a pentagram. Because when you align yourself with the world, James said, you make yourself the enemy of God. And Jesus said, marvel not if the world, this system I'm talking about, if it hates you, it hated me before it hated you. But don't boast if the world embraces you, because it proves you're of them. You're part of them. That's why when he called his people out of Babylon, not ancient historical Babylon, But spiritual Babylon today, what was it? It's a city that is built on the material wealth of a fallen world that's put as a premium above men and women's immortal eternal soul. Babylon is fallen. Is fallen. He called it not as it were because it's already under divine judgment. Listen carefully to this as I try to close. Come out of her. Well, we're not in ancient Babylon. We're in Tampa, Los Angeles, New York City, Middlesbrough, Kentucky, Sanford. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Lest you partake of her plagues. If you're in her when judgment falls, it'll fall on you. Just like it falls on her. Come out of her. You want to hear that related in the New Testament spiritually? Come out from among them that are not of the kingdom of God. Don't align yourself with them. Align yourself with Him. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Don't follow what's trending. Follow what's true. Amen. Hallelujah. If it costs you everything, it's worth it. Amen. You know what Jesus said to the church under persecution? He said, I know where you dwell, where Satan's seat is. He's really operating there. There were trade unions. Christians were not allowed to work and make a living for their family. Not only were they not getting rich like the moguls of Wall Street, they were sacrificing in order to follow Jesus. And what was His message to them? Not only were they sacrificing, listen, I know your poverty, what? But thou art rich. If they didn't see the true riches, they would have followed the movement that is promising them more and more of the things of this world. Yeah, I appreciate the used car y'all got because it's a luxury car in its day. Amen. Drive it and enjoy it. Amen. If the rapture takes place, I'll drive it and enjoy it. I'm just saying. No, you're going to. God is good today. It's getting pretty heavy in here, Brother Taylor. I had to lighten it a little bit. There is a movement that is material and physical. It's obsessive. And there are thousands, I'm talking about thousands, that are following. Many false prophets shall go out into the world and deceive many. And because the love of many that are being deceived waxes cold, iniquity will abound. What is iniquity? Jesus, He's died for our transgressions, wounded for our transgressions, but He was bruised for our iniquity. Iniquity is the evil in our own flesh that is allowed to express itself. If we don't crucify the flesh and the lust thereof, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life will consume us. And we need to be forewarned. Don't align yourself. I had a preacher the other day tell me, I suppose I am woke. I said, you understand what that movement represents? Do you understand what it represents? He was trying to express, this is my political alignment. And I'm not telling him who to vote for. I'm telling him who to follow. Yeah. That's Jesus.
Amen.
You can't align yourself with some things. I said, sir, be careful what you align yourself with. Be careful. Because if you align yourself with the world, so here's the New Testament challenge to us today. Come out from among them, my people. Come out from among her, my people. if you don't want to be left here in the world, with the world, when Jesus comes, come up, get saved, and come. And when you get saved, get sanctified, amen, cleansed, and set apart unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right now, the word that's coming is a sanctifying word. You know people that go to church on Sunday that align themselves with the world all week long. And they call it Christianity. I got my free ticket to heaven. I don't have to think about that. You better think about it, because that ticket is free. But it carries a weight of responsibility that you've truly been saved. For if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. She's a new creation. Old things, those values, the things. The Apostle Paul said, let's talk about Paul for a minute before I quit. The things I once counted gain to me, I count them as but dung, that I might know Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Everything that I value the most in my life, I throw them aside and count them as refuse, that I might know Him. That I might have this king, this kingdom, this eternal life, not this temporal life. You know people like that. And they're in a false security. It's not the works. It is a gift. But when you come to Jesus, something... the heart. There's a friend of my son's that is trying to lose 50 pounds to qualify for a heart transplant. So oxygen, most of her heart is non-functioning. 44 years old. The doctor said, if you don't lose this much weight, we can't give you the transplant. And there's no guarantee amazing that they can take a heart that's failing, threatens to die any minute, take it out, lay it wherever they lay it, take a heart that's been frozen from a body that's been donated, and put that heart in, keep that body going on a ventilator till that heart is put in and hooked up and drugs are given so the body won't reject it. It may reject it. But the very fact, the very first one that ever happened was in Africa. The first time they took out an old heart and they put in a new heart, and the man lived for a year or two or whatever, began the fact that they could actually do something like that is a medical miracle and a marvel. Amen. But let me tell you something. The heart transplant that occurs at salvation, amen, it is eternal. Amen. That don't mean you can't backslide, but I'm going to tell you something. If any... He's not the old man made better. He's not the old man made over. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Something happens with the values. Something happens with the attitude. Something happens with the life. Is he sinlessly perfect? Absolutely not. But is he perfectly sinful like the world? No, he is not. Sin no longer reigns. Satan is no longer king. Jesus is Lord and Adonai. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He struggles with the flesh. He struggles with the lust of the eyes. He struggles with the lust of the flesh. He struggles with the pride of life. And that proves there's a change that has occurred. Because until you come to Jesus, we walked after the course of this world, the Bible said. We went with the flow. We didn't struggle with sin. We embraced it and indulged in it in our flesh, enjoyed it. And don't tell me it wasn't fun for your flesh. So all of these people following movements that care little for Jesus and less for the cross of Christ. You know what the Bible calls them? Because they name His name. They claim the benefits of the cross. But the Bible calls them enemies of the cross. Because they align themselves with that is Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is not when the man who is the embodiment of that spirit comes. It's the spirit that is now influencing this world. That's why when they told them, a miracle has occurred, a lame man is running, leaping, praising God. They brought the disciples in. They said, by what authority did you heal this man? Yeah. Boy, I love their boldness, Jimmy. Yeah. They said, remember the man you put on the cross and put in the grave? Yeah. Whom God hath raised from the dead. Yeah. Through his name,
hallelujah,
this man stands before you whole. Not the name of that evangelist, not the name of that apostle, not the name of that denomination, not the name of that preacher, not the name of that church, but the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And they said, and they would have killed them. But they feared the people that saw the miracle and heard the name of Jesus. But they charged them. Don't you go out and build a church and don't you teach the Bible. No. Don't you ever talk about God again. No. One issue. One thing that scares the devil to his crooked toenail. Can you say, man? I mean that with all due respect. And that's all the due respect I give him. Listen to, oh no, I know he's an angel and I know we got to be cautious here. Listen, he's a fallen one. But we have to caution ourselves about things that we, beyond us. Don't you preach or teach in his name anymore, and don't you preach or teach through him the resurrection from the dead.
Yeah.
And being let go, threatened with death and incarceration and death, they said, Lord, behold their threatenings.
Amen.
Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may preach thy
Hallelujah.
Word. Can you say, man, not only are we not going to back up on it, we're going to double down on it. Can you say, there's a cost to doubling down.
Yeah.
That's okay. Whatever it costs. You're in a heaven-bound church, not an earth-bound church.
Amen.
I'm doubling down. Praise God. Amen. Brother Venable, look at your little group of people. That's okay. We spent 50 years. There's a lot more people than what is represented here in our little group today that have come under this ministry going to be in heaven because we doubled down on 10th and Sitka. Praise God. Oh, I was tempted. I was tempted. I'm going to tell you right now, I was tempted. There's a church over here. That pastor's getting rich. He's filled his building with people. They're building a new building. We're in Suffering Springs. Can you say amen? They come in waves. Wave will come in, get excited, get up the next Sunday, and the wave has went out. The wave will come in, get all excited, and the wave went out. Somebody's prophesying over here. Somebody's interpreting dreams over here. Somebody's promising the wealth of the world over here. And Brother Venable's just doubling down. Oh, if he'd just lighten up. If he'd just shorten the service. If he wouldn't be so loud. If he wouldn't be so long. I mean, some wanted it hotter. Some wanted it colder.
Yeah.
Tom Young. I told him. He said, Brother Venable, what do I do? He said, so-and-so told me, turn that air up. And then so-and-so told me, turn that air down. I said, Tom. Yeah, polar bear, polar bear. I said, Tom, go fiddle with it and don't turn it nowhere. Just fiddle with it. Some wanted me to preach harder. Some wanted me to lighten up. But I didn't fiddle with it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why? Because we're a heaven-bound church, not an earthbound church. I love that song that said, and the things of this world grow strange. The things the devil offers us for trading our soul for grow strangely dim in light of His mercy and His grace. Hallelujah. That's how you overcome temptation. When the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Can you say amen? Come out of her, my people, lest you partake of the plagues that are coming on her. New Testament. You say, well, Brother Venable, that's Book of Revelation for ancient Babylon. Ancient Babylon is now a spiritual system that is part of the world system. It's not the earth. He made it good. Sin corrupted it. But the system, you're of God. Aren't you glad? Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're of God. And the whole world lies in wickedness. Literally translated into Greek, it's under the direct, distinct influence of the evil one. When you align yourself with its values, you align yourself with its morals, and you claim that grace takes care of that, you become an enemy of the cross. Because he that makes himself, James Gospel, makes himself the friend of the world, takes his stand as an enemy of God. That's the enemy of the cross. Because they claim the blessing of the cross and the benefits of the cross, and even claim him who died on the cross. But they align themselves with the world that hates the Christ and hates the cross. So this is something, you know who's going to be left here? It's not people that wasn't just sinlessly perfect, ready for the rapture. It's people who have been changed from the inside out. If any man be in Christ, he's just a sinner like he was, but grace has covered that. No, if he's in Christ, there has been a heart transplant. Let me give you a New Testament of that. As it is written in the Old Covenant, now related as the new birth in the New Covenant, I will take out the heart of stone, and I'll replace it with a heart of flesh. Glory to God. I feel good today. I've had a heart transplant. Hallelujah. I said I have had a heart transplant. The devil can show me all the kingdoms of this world he wants. Amen. Paul said, I counted as but dung that I might know Jesus Christ. Why? Because he had a heart transplant.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
How many? Oh, and I don't have to take no medicine thinking my body's going to reject that new heart.
Amen.
Amen. But my new heart is constantly rejecting my flesh. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And it's helping me to crucify the flesh and the lust thereof, to deny myself and take up my cross so I can follow the one who means more to me. And I love Pam enough, I'd lay down my life for her, clean up her room for her. Amen. But I love him more because Pamela can't save me. Pamela didn't save me. And I love her with all my earthly heart. But in my spiritual value system, Jesus is my Adonai. He's my love and my Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. How many are glad to be a Christian today? How many are glad to be part of the heaven-bound church? To them that look, earthbound church is not looking for the return of Jesus. I'm going to call a name today because you need to hear it. I don't usually do that because I want the people to not turn me off before they at least give me a chance and maybe they'll compare, but they're so caught up in it. Joel Osteen, I've never heard a message on the soon coming of Jesus. Have you? No. I'll tell you. I'll answer it for you. No. And you're not going to hear one next week or next year, because you're on record saying, I'm going to stay in my lane. That's his lane.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to stay in my lane. This is my lane. I'm going to tell you to get ready.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you not only get ready, I'm going to tell you you got to be ready, because there's not going to be any time to get ready.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Because we're heaven bound.
Yeah.
And when I draw my last breath, I fully expect angels to come.
Amen.
The rich man died. He had the wealth that everybody's after. The material, physical. Don't mean that God won't bless you. Listen.
Come on, bro.
Lazarus, the beggar. He sits outside the rich man's gate and he begs for a crumb from his table.
Yeah.
And the man is so self-consumed and self-indulgent, he won't even give him the leftovers. Lazarus has got sores on his body. And the dogs have more compassion than the man that is self-indulgent. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his wounds. They both died the same night. And they both immediately found themselves somewhere. They try to make that some kind of analogy and take the reality. Jesus put it, a certain rich man.
Come on.
This was somebody, he saw it happen. He knew it happened. He's revealing to us what happened.
Amen.
It's not because of his wealth. It's because of his alignment with a satanic system that puts the premium on wealth over the soul. The premium on the material that is passing over the eternal.
Come on, brother.
Where you're going to spend it.
Yeah.
The Bible said that when Lazarus died, angels came. Say it with me, angels came.
Angels.
Thank God. Angels came and took him to Abraham's bosom. At that time, all of the Old Testament saints were in a place called paradise. Amen. They were not feeling anything but the bliss and joy, but they were not yet in heaven where we are headed. But angels came and took him to where Abraham was. And between paradise and hell, there's a great chasm or gulf, as it was called, fixed, cannot be moved. And the rich man saw Lazarus at home and at peace, beginning the eternal peace of heaven and glory. And he said, Lazarus, the price of his wealth was all gone now. He did not ask Lazarus to bring him a glass of water. This is the seriousness that's lacking. That's what you don't hear. God loves you. He's going to give you more of this. He's going to give you more of that. He's going to give you more of this. Don't matter whether you're really saved or not. You shouldn't even consider that. You got your ticket when you were 12 years old singing Kumbaya at some camp. And you may have. But if you have, you got a new heart.
Amen.
And it'll grow on you. It'll grow in you. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Said Abraham, tell Lazarus to dip his finger in water.
Yeah.
You understand? Dip his finger. I know I can't get out of here. I know there's a gulf that is fixed and nothing can move it. No priest can pray it away. As a tree falls, there it lies. Dip his finger in water. Touch my parched tongue. with his moistened finger if we don't get serious about these things. And if Christians don't get serious about these things, we'll keep drifting away from God, aligning ourselves with the world while claiming our free ticket to heaven, while being an enemy of the cross of Christ. It represents a death. And following Jesus requires a death to self. So the self-indulgent message will align you with the world. That's all about self-indulgent. The self-sacrificing message will align you with Christ and all of the apostles and the Bible. Amen? If you want to be my disciple, follow my example. Start with denying yourself so that you can take up your cross and truly follow me. I love that song, "Take Up Your Cross and Follow Jesus." Can you say amen? Are you ready this year to make sure that you align yourself with a heaven-bound crowd who are looking and longing for the soon return of Jesus Christ today? Amen. Brother, if you'll plug that in.
Before I started having so many distractions, I used to have my own personal little devotion time when you were working.
Yeah.
And remember when I was on that ladder, I prayed and I had a wonderful, wonderful time of devotion all by myself. And I'd asked the Lord to help me be a witness to someone.
Right.
And I was on a ladder outside trying to put some decorations up. And here comes a couple of men with their white shirts and their black pants. And their and I knew what they were after. And I knew what they were going to do.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, if I was in the house, I would just wouldn't go to the door.
Yeah.
But I was stuck. I couldn't get away. They stood at the bottom of that ladder until I finally came down. And the older one, the experienced one who was training the younger one, he started his spiel.
Yeah.
Wanted to come in, talk to me.
Study the Bible with
us. Show me this little film. Show me a book and all this stuff. You know, and I'm standing there politely listening.
Yeah.
And then when he stopped talking and I saw the face on that young one.
Uh-huh.
And I had just spent quality time
with the Lord.
With the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I had such a love and presence of God emanating from me.
Yeah.
It was not me. I wasn't boasting in myself.
Right.
God was oozing from every pore. And the love of God just flowed out of me towards that young guy.
Yeah.
The other guy, I told him, I have got such a treasure in knowing Christ as my Savior.
Yeah.
And my friend, I said, he's my friend.
Yeah.
He sat with me right there in my living room in the corner there, and we had wonderful fellowship. What could you possibly offer me to take the place of that?
That's right.
Yeah.
And the man was flabbergasted.
He wanted to argue doctrine.
He could not come up with anything greater.
Yeah.
I told him, anyway, the young guy, that's what got me. That young guy was like a sponge.
Yeah.
He was listening to a person talk about the Lord of the universe.
Yeah.
Like they knew him.
Right.
Like he was a personal friend.
Yeah.
And he was taking that in. And the other guy got frustrated and he was ready to leave.
Oh.
So he left. But this guy, I saw something.
Seeds were sown. Yeah.
To spend with God that morning.
Right.
I do. I did every morning, but that morning was special.
Yeah.
Why? Because these guys were coming up my sidewalk.
That's right.
And I'm just so thankful that the love of God is that real.
Yes.
He's real, Jimmy. I was talking to Jimmy. I was telling him what his prayer
for you meant.
God is real.
Yes, He is.
Amen. He is a very present help.
In the time of trouble.
Trouble? He's a very present help every day of our lives.
Hallelujah.
And I have been distracted by this physical body has distracted me.
Yeah.
But last night I lay there in my bed and I thought about what's so important.
Yes.
It is so important that we share God with each other.
That's it.
Yeah. That we pray for one another.
Yes.
That we lift one another up.
Yes.
We are the body.
Yeah.
We aren't me or you or you or you. We are the body of Christ.
That's right.
We are one.
Yes.
And the greatest thing on this earth that we are put here for is to glorify Him and to lift one another up.
Amen.
To take one another by the arm and say, come on.
Yeah.
We can make it. This world is going to hell.
Yeah.
Yes, the world is. But we are not
of the world.
And we are not of the world, and we are heading toward a glorious
day. Hallelujah.
And that's our purpose.
Hallelujah.
If we can't do that, that's what I was thinking when I was.
What's the point of Him leaving us here?
And I've had all these physical things that has hindered me.
Yeah.
What is the purpose of living except to glorify Christ and to lift one another up?
That's it.
And say, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
We're going.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
God is turning some things around today. Just a bit of. Yeah. Listen. Listen. I don't know about you. You know where I stand. I've taken this stand over 50 years ago. It has cost to do it. I'm going to tell you right now, it's worth it. Amen. Because somebody. And listen, if you are in a church that is earthbound, teaching you the values of this world over and over to get you more entrenched in the world. When Jesus comes, those that have embraced the world and that the world is embracing, the way I read the Bible, they've never, ever been born again. They might have joined the church. They might have been baptized in water. They can recite the creed and the dogma of the church, but they haven't met the Master and had a heart transplant. Because brother, if you come to Him, sister, if you come to Him, your heart is going to change and your life will follow. And your whole life will be a progressive life to becoming more, more like Jesus, your example. Praise God. Hallelujah.